His name is Peter. Turn to your neighbor and say, his name is Peter. Tell your neighbor, we're going to call him Pete. Peter. Then Peter stood up with the 11. This is the book of Acts chapter 2. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death. You put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Acts chapter 2, the very first ever Christian sermon given. His name is Pete. And when we read his stories, we learn something about God. I'm going to tell you something about God. This is what it is. It was deliberate and it was done with foreknowledge. What was done deliberately with foreknowledge? Going to the cross was not a mistake. Going to the cross was not God, aw shucks, losing that round. Going to the cross and coming out of the tomb, it was planned. It was done deliberately with foreknowledge. So some of you might wonder, why do people believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world? Here's why. Because Jesus predicted his death. He predicted the type of death. And he predicted that I will rise again. And then he went on to die like he said he would, die how he said he would, and he came back to death. So let me just give you a little bit of insider information. If somebody predicts their death, how they're going to die, and they're going to come back to life, and they actually do that, that's somebody you're wanting to pay attention to. Amen. This is why we believe Jesus had a plan. Can I tell you something else about God in this story? Thank you. Yeah. Balcony, you want to hear one more thing? Fair enough. We get it. All right. You might want to get this one. I guess you don't have to listen in the balcony. But you might want to get, this is a cool thing about God that we learn in Pete's story. He died for those who killed him. Wow. The deliberate plan was to go to the cross and come out of the tomb to die for those who killed him. See, even the people who hated Jesus and crucified him on the cross, those were the ones that Jesus came to die for. This is an amazing thing. God knew that they were going to do it to him, and he said, yeah, go ahead, and I'm dying for you, buddy. We're talking about a God who has grace that is beyond our comprehension. He died for those who killed him. One more thing about God. He didn't need Pete to fulfill this practice of bringing 3,000 people into a saving. He didn't need him. I mean, God's big and he's tough and he could have spoken from heaven. He could have said, hey, people. Still sounds demonic, doesn't it? He didn't say it that way. But he could have. He could have from the heavens said, hey, this is who I am. This is what you did. He didn't need Pete. But here's the thing we learn about. Another thing we learn about God. God is in the business of partnering with people. All right. Let me tell you something about Pete from this story. This story, when he got up and spoke, and about 3,000 people came to a saving knowledge of Jesus, this was Pete's coming out party. Turn to your neighbor and say, he came out. See, in this moment, he became all that God had planned him to be. This was his coming out party. This is the same Peter who, when Jesus and Peter, James, and John, they went to a mountain, the Bible says, and Jesus was transfigured. Oh. And Elijah and Moses were with them up on the mountain. It was one of the most amazing things ever seen on planet Earth. And Peter saw it when Jesus came down. Peter said, do you want us to build tents? What an idiot. This is the same Peter who had been with Jesus for 3 years, three whole years. And he heard Jesus say time and time again things like, hey, pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy. If somebody strikes you on the right cheek, turn them to the other. If they take your cloak, give them your coat as well. If they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. He heard Jesus say this so many times. And the moment somebody came against Jesus and Jesus' followers, Peter being one of them, he pulled out his sword. And he chopped the dude's ear off. This is not the teaching of Jesus, idiot. You were with him for 3 years. This is the same Peter who, after he said, yeah, Jesus, you're the Messiah, right? Very shortly after he said that, when Jesus said, I'm gonna die, but I'll come back, Peter pulled Jesus aside. Jesus, I think you got it wrong. It's never a good idea to confront the Son of God, just so you know. As if Peter knew better than Jesus. And he said, Jesus, you shouldn't be talking about your death like that. And Jesus looked at this Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Peter was an idiot. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the idiot disappear and the man arise. And we see in this story, when he spoke that first Christian sermon, we see that he became all that God intended him to be. This was his coming out party. Let me tell you something about you. Can I tell you something about you? Well, first of all, he did it for you too. Not only did Jesus die on the cross for those who killed him on the cross, Jesus died for you. It was a plan, deliberate and purposeful with you in mind. Somebody say, me. In fact, all of you say, me. He did it for you. No one is left off the list of who Jesus died for. It's for you. And the God who partnered with Peter wants to partner with you. See, the God who partnered with Peter enabled him to preach powerful sermons. Say that fast 3 times. It's the same God who wants to partner with you to do amazing things in your life. Here's what I want you to hear. God has a coming out party for you. And God is looking down at you wherever you're at in life, whether you've been with God forever, whether you're not with God, or whether you're somewhere in the middle. He wants you to have a coming out party where you become even more what he intended you to be. I'm talking to you. Are you hearing? And I don't care if you've been doing God work forever. I'm saying it's now that God has work for you to do, and he has a coming out party for you. He wants you to become. Because when you become, the world is a better place. But you can wait till next year. Turn to your neighbor and say, take it easy, you got a year. Turn to your neighbor, right? You got a year? Oh, hey, wait a minute. I got this other verse right here. John chapter 4. Jesus is recorded. It says, you have a saying. 4 more months till harvest. 4 more months. Just relax. You got 4 months. But I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ready for harvest now. Friendly finger, get it out. Point at your neighbor and say, now. God has a coming out party for you now, and he wants you to become all that he has in store for you now. Because when you become what God intends you to be, the world is a better place now. Do not wait. Do not be on the shelf. Do not collect dust now. This is a point. Get both of your friendly fingers out. Not just one. Turn your neighbor and say, now. Yeah, now. But you know, before his coming out party, before he became all that God intended him to be, something had to happen before he became. And we see that something in the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah the prophet." But Jesus asked them, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And our buddy Pete, he stood up and he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, sent to take away the sins of the world." So I want to tell you something about God right here from Pete's story. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is a good guy, but he ain't just a good guy. He's a good teacher, but he's not just a good teacher. He's the Son of God, sent to take away the sins of the world. This is who he is. You see, the Father sent the Son, and the Son left the Spirit so that we could find freedom and abundance on this world and in the world to come. He's the Messiah. Let me tell you something about Pete here. Before he became all God intended him to be, he needed to do something mentally. He needed to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. You see, before he had his coming out party where he became, he was back over here saying, "You know what, Jesus, you are the Messiah." Had there been no belief in Jesus that he was who he said he was, there would be no becoming. You see, becoming was preceded by belief. Out of belief came becoming. Let me tell you something about you. The fullness of your becoming will never come to fruition until you believe Jesus is who he said he was. Let me say it to that side in case they missed it, staring at my back. The becoming God has for you will never come to fruition until you believe Jesus was who he said he was. He said, "I'm the Son of God sent to take the sins of the world." And we need to know this belief isn't like a belief like, you know, you used to believe in Santa or still believe in Santa. Right? We're talking a belief that actually changes actions. We're going to move right on. Keep with me. We're talking about a belief that changes, of not just a mental acquiescence, but a mental nod. Yep, I believe that, and it's going to change me. Your becoming will never come to fruition until you believe Jesus is who he said he was. You're not stupid people. I know that you want to become all God intended you to be. You can't become who he intended you to be until you believe who he is who he said he was. But you know what? Something happened in Peter's life before he believed. Something preceded that even. And we see what preceded the belief right here in Luke chapter 4. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Jesus said to our man Pete, "Let's go fishing." Now, I told you a few weeks ago when we honored Griffin, our resident fisher guy, I'm not a fan of fishing, but I love the concept. Fishing gets you out to enjoy nature and you get a hang with a buddy. Jesus said, "Hey, let's go fishing." Let me tell you something about God, the God who asks a man to go fishing. This God is about the relationship. You see, sometimes we like to say God is high and mighty, which he is. But he's also here and present. And the God is revealed in the story of Pete as a God who longs for connection and intimacy and relationship with you. See, Jesus didn't take the nails for us to have a distant, formal relationship that's based on religious activity. He came that you and he might be close. He wants to take you fishing. See, God's a God of relationship. Let me tell you something about Pete in this. Pete could have said to him, "Well, you know, Jesus, I kind of liked watching you from afar. You're getting too close to me, this fishing business." But he didn't. He realized that something was going on when Jesus said, let's go fish. And he realized that Jesus was giving him a place just to belong. See, in this Peter, he was a fisherman. He wasn't a Pharisee. He was a fisherman. He wasn't a teacher of the law. He was a fisherman, not a scribe. Those were the people who were respected in the culture. I mean, there was some respect to fishermen because they provided a necessary service. People needed some protein every now and then, right? But there was kind of a second-class citizen nature of the fishermen back in this day and age. They had failed out of Pharisee school, and when they were 12 and they weren't cutting the intellectual mustard, they kind of had to find another life if they couldn't do the things needed to become a scribe, a Pharisee, or a teacher of the law. And so in a way, Peter was kind of a little bit of a reject. But Jesus said to this one, who the culture said, you're less than, Jesus said to him, I want to be in relationship with you. And it was the first time in his life that a rabbi, that's what Jesus was, said, I want to be with you. Because rabbis just didn't hang out with fishermen. And something happened in Peter's life when he saw this rabbi, this Jesus, wanting to be in relationship with him. And he says, man, I can just be with this guy. So before this guy, Pete, became, he had to believe. But before he could believe, he just belonged in the presence of the one who loved him. Let me tell you something about you. You belong. Doesn't matter where you're at socially, economically, maritally. Doesn't matter where you're at educationally. It just doesn't matter. In the presence of Jesus, you belong. You know, and when the Lord led me about 12, 13 years ago to begin Envision planting a church that we would call The River, He made it clear that it would be a place where brokenness was in the open and people who were broken and just letting the issues of life beat them up for some reason or other. This would be a place for people like that. And so The River's been built around a few of those principles, right? If you got a pulse, everybody's got issues. You're all a knucklehead once in a while, right? All of you made stupid choices once in a while, right? All of you have gotten beat up by life once in a while, right? And the Lord was whispering in my ear so many years ago, you know, just make it a place for broken people to go and be open with their brokenness. Because the point isn't their brokenness, it's the healing that he wants to do in their brokenness. And if they're not open with their brokenness, they're not going to be open about the receiving of his healing. And then that Lord, he just whispered in my ear and he said, you know what? And by the way, everybody's broken. So if you think you ain't broken, you're broken because you're deceiving yourself. This is the place for anybody to belong. You belong. And you might not ever have found a place where you could just be yourself. And it's interesting that Peter just felt that belonging, fishing with Jesus, before he understood everything about Jesus. He belonged before he said, now I have my theology right about Jesus. Now I have all my big questions. What about those people in those faraway places that never hear about? Where are they going to go when they die? Before he had answer to those big questions, he knew that he just belonged in Jesus' company. And he didn't have to have it all figured out before he could just rest in the company of Jesus, and neither do you. And so Rod told you a couple weeks ago that the mission of this church, the mission that you have as a human being who's a follower of Jesus, your mission in life is to glorify God. That's it. You exist to glorify God. We collectively exist to glorify God. And last week I told you where we got our name from, Ezekiel 47. Wherever the river flows, swarms of living creatures will live. The river. And today I just told you what is the vision of this church that you've called home. The vision of the river, the thing that we see us becoming and being, is a place for anybody to belong so that they might believe, so that they might become all God had them to be. Belong. Believe. Become.